doesn't see us and know us, and as we just heard in that last testimony, that He protects us and that He works with us, that we serve a living God who is able to work in situations and to manipulate things and to move them to accomplish His purposes. And I think that was a very exciting and powerful testimony we just heard, and we see the Lord working. The Lord can work with us in many different ways, and He uses oftentimes the foolishness of preaching. And sometimes we come here, I know we come here, and it's habit. We come here, we sit down to listen, because that's what we do on Sundays. And yet, if we don't come here believing that the Lord is able to work through a man to bring forth a message that's important, then our purpose here is completely void. The Lord is able to work, He's able to move and manipulate situations and even bring a man to say certain things that the Lord has sought out in your heart that you needed to hear. And so I hope that you've come with that desire this morning, that you desire to hear what the Lord has to share with us, and that you give Him opportunity to share it, and that you don't cast it out by your unbelief or your doubt or your frustration or your tiredness or whatever it is, but that you give Him opportunity. And so I give you my grandpa, Hubert Yates, as he would bring the message this morning.
Good morning. It's good to see each of you this morning. Not necessarily that I'm talking, but it's good to see you come to church and have a desire to. We just heard a testimony of how important church is and how important that our Lord is and what He does. So oftentimes we don't catch, we don't realize that He has set His hand for us and has protected us. It can be things of the world, and it can be things of the evil one that has a desire to destroy our soul. It can be either one. And so oftentimes He has protected us from that very power that would destroy us, not only physically but spiritually, and how important that is. I'm reminded of the scripture that Brother Don used last Sunday night about the scriptures in James when he says that faith without works is dead, being alone, like the body is without the spirit. And it's important that we have that faith. It's important that we use and utilize that faith and recognize that if we have that faith, that means we're thinking on the Lord. That means we believe that He is. That means that we believe that He has laws and rules and ways that has been provided for us to be blessed, like prayer, like those things that's so interested that we exercise sometimes and really don't think about it. And young Jim preached on faith. And it's important that we have that faith. It's important that we know that we have a God and we have a Savior. And that if we put our faith and our trust in Him and are obedient to Him, that we have a life of peace and a life of joy. That doesn't mean we don't have problems, because we're here to work out our salvation, and we can't work it out unless we have an opposition. And that's what the Book of Mormon tells us, that we have an opposition in all things. There's a daylight and there's a dark, there's a sweet, there's a bitter. That we have an opposition in all things, and you and I, In what Gordon said today, you know, that he's not a respecter of persons. You and I are choosing of those oppositions. You and I are choosing and deciding where we want to go and live from all eternity to all eternity. That's a decision that we're making. That's a decision you might say, well, I'm not making it. I'm not going to even listen to that stuff. I'm not going to be tied up into that stuff. Well, whether you like it or not, you're making that decision, because that happens to be the decision and the things that the Lord has given us. That's part of our life. And we're choosing each day to whom we want to go live with. And it's important that we realize that. That's why he tells us, you know, that we're to take up our cross daily and come and follow him. How important that is. That we have to daily take up that cross. When we skip a few days, it hurts us. When we skip a few days or give it a month or drop a year and then come back 4 years later or something, you know, it's a daily task for you and I. From the time that we wake up and thank the Lord in the morning that we're alive and we were blessed through the night and protected, to the time that when we go to bed at night and say our prayers and close our eyes. It's a constant thing. And you know, that's important because the Lord is constantly looking after us. He's constantly worried about us because he loves us. We're his children. And he has a love for each one. Even when we violate his law, he might not love what we do, but he loves us. And he tells us that he chastens those whom he loves. So if you're chastened, a parent chastens their children, not because they hate them, but because they love them. And they don't want something to happen to them. And especially spiritually. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, you tell your children, don't ride your bicycle out in the street, don't get in the traffic, don't this, don't that. But that's a physical thing. But it's important that we teach our children about the Lord and about his Father in heaven. It's important that we teach them of those things that are valuable because this old body that we live in, this house that we live in right now, you know, that's just a house that we live in. It's going to get old and it's going to get crippled and it's going to get to where you don't see as good and it's going to get that you're not as strong as you used to be and things you used to be able to do you can't do anymore and all these things, you know. But the spirit that lives inside lives forever. It lives forever. And you and I are deciding where that spirit that lives inside of us that keeps this old house moving and the fingers going and the thinking that we have, you and I are making the decision to where that spirit is going to go live from all eternity to all eternity. We're making that decision daily. Whether we like it or not, we're making that decision. So it's important that realize that God in his love has given us different ordinances and things that he has asked us to do for our benefit. For our benefit. One of them is, like our sister just got through saying, that's the avenue of prayer. Where we can go and talk to him and visit with him. And lay before his holy throne the desires of our hearts. Hoping that we remember to say, nevertheless, let thy will be done, because I know in our humanness, like Brother Don said the other night, you know, that we're an enemy to God in our humanness. And you and I can sincerely and prayerfully ask for something that we shouldn't have. And because of the love of our Father, sometimes he says no. He doesn't give us what we ask for because he knows what would happen in the future. Or he knows what would happen at that particular time. We have a Father that loves us because he has given us the power, his priesthood of administration to administer to the sick. That they might be blessed and lifted up. Now, we all know that he tells us that we're not going to get out of this old world alive. Someday, we're going to lay this old house down. And we're going to go home and meet our Lord. But you know, there's a lot of things that we have to think about. And in his love, because he knows his human beings, he knows that we're subject to mistakes. He knows that we're subject to making mistakes, saying things we shouldn't, hurting somebody's feelings, breaking the law, going past the realm that God has given us to live by. He knows that. And so he has given us what we call repentance. That gives us the opportunity to approach him in prayer and ask him to forgive us of our imperfection and our humanness. And he tells us if we do that honestly, if we do that sincerely, that those sins could be forgiven. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to utilize and exercise that very attitude of repentance to where we can approach him and know that he hears our prayers and recognize that we're told to repent. We're told that we have that faith and we repent and know that he is and that we keep ourselves in line. And, you know, it's just like anything else. You don't wait. You don't decide, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to for a year, and then I'll repent of that last year and start all over again. And of course, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. That's not proper repentance. Repentance is when you're penitent, that your feeling of sorrow for the wrongdoing, remorse, regret, a sharp feeling brought on by sense of guilt. That's what repentance really is. If you're really planning on doing it again tomorrow, you're not really repenting. That when you look at your life, like young Jim asked the other day, you know, what are you going to leave here when you go? You know, to look at your life and make up your mind. And, of course, each one of us has to make up our mind. I can't make up your minds for you. I can pray for you. I can pray that you'll listen to that spirit that will touch you and move you. But I can't force you to do that. God don't even do that. He doesn't drag you by the hair of the head. He doesn't twist your arm. But he did send his son to live the life as a human being that when he stubbed his toe, it hurt. He sent his son to set an example for us that that we would know and his teachings for us. He sent his son to come and to engage our hearts and our minds, to teach us those things he says that he didn't come. He said, those things that I teach, he says, they're of my Father, which are in heaven. That's what he's teaching. That's what we come for. Those are things that we're going to have to realize and believe in the times to come. The brothers that's gone before me have been preaching of the times that have come, the signs of times that the Holy Scripture verifies. They've been teaching of those things and telling us to beware and to keep ourselves right spiritually. To keep ourselves right spiritually. Because there are promises of those who keep themselves spiritually right. And you know, I was thinking about a lot of times, you know, there was those in time past that we read in history that were fed the lions, they were crucified, they were killed in all kinds of hideous manner. But you know, if they were doing that because of the Lord and holding fast to the gospel of Christ, they've won. They've won. That if you're put to death because of those things and one thing and another, you've won. If you've done it for the Lord, and if you've done it to hold fast to the gospel of Christ, you've won. I can remember in 1970 when I was down in Yucatan with Don, and we were preaching through the jungles and through the things that you said there today, just little huts and one thing and another. And they had set out and set different times to kill us. And we were warned each time. We were warned. And I'm surprised that they didn't get discouraged, because every time they set up something to kill us, why, the Lord would warn us and tell us not to go there, to go a different way, or every time, you know, we were warned. And you know, he's there. But we had made up our mind between us that if they got us and they threw us in prison, we were going to preach. We were going to preach in prison. And we're going to be like those young people that they got down there in the beginning of the church of the Mayans, and they got them and they threw them in prison. They held them and they beat some of them up and drug them through the streets with their hair and all kinds of stuff. And when they got them and threw them in prison, they sang hymns. They sang hymns so the jailers couldn't stand it, so they opened up the jail and let them out. The important thing is that we walk according to the standard of our Lord. Whatever confronts us, whatever confronts us, He's the cure. And we have to remember that He is the cure. He's the shot. He's the pill. He's the things that we take. He's the cure that stops and kills sin that enters into the lives and the souls of the children of men. He's the one that kills the sin and the desires for sin in our hearts and our minds. It gives us the desire to walk upright before God, that we have a light that will glorify Him in His holy kingdom. He's the one that has that desire. He's the one that has that power to destroy the sin that comes upon the children of men, to destroy and to bind down Satan, as we were reading in the Book of Mormon today, in the millennial reign where he's going to be bound. He has that power. He has that power to help each one of us in our thinking and in the desires that we have to walk upright before God and to live the right and to separate ourselves from the world. Even though we live in the world, we're not to be of the world. We're supposed to be examples. Like Jesus said when He was walking on the earth, He says that we're to live. He says, and so that we'll have a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's a work for us. That's a common challenge for each one of us, is to live a life that we have a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our challenge daily. And so as I come, I want to start off with a scripture. I want to go to Mormon, the third chapter, and that's there in Mormon in the third chapter. I want to read the 25th verse, and that's on page 703. And the 25th verse says this: "Know ye that ye must come unto repentance, or ye cannot be saved." That we need to repent. We need to sufficiently study the words of God to know His attributes, those things, His virtues, those things that it tells us, you know, that are the fruits of the Spirit. We need to sufficiently study them that we would know what we're to do. And if we're not doing it, then repent of it and change our life. That's what that's about. So that when the time comes that he tells us is coming, there's going to be great tribulation such as never before and never be again. And he says, unless he shortens those days, there be no flesh saved. But he says, you know, he says, for my elect's sake, I will shorten those days. And it's our hope. I know I want to be one of the elect if I'm living in that day. And I want each one of you to be one of the elect if you're living that day. I want you to be an elect that the Lord would feel directed to shorten those days for your life. That's important. That's why he tells us, by the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved. If we do like my brother asked, if you listen to my voice today, I hope you're not listening to my thoughts and my voice, but to my Lord's. As he directs the thoughts that your servants present before thee to lift you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to give you that desire to walk justly before God, that you see the difference in the world and see all the things that goes on in the world and all the trash that goes on in the world, and you don't see it among your brothers and sisters in the household of God. What a difference in a life. What a difference in a joy. What a difference in a happiness that you have, opposite of what the world has. What a difference there is in the hope that you have that the world doesn't have. That's something to think about. Because you have a hope. You have a hope of tomorrow. You have a hope of eternal life. You have a hope of being someplace where there's no tears, there's no weeping, there's no wailing, there's no problems, but there's love. And God the Father and Jesus Christ is the light. That's our hope. That's our hope. That's the desire of our heart. To do that is to go there and to be and to live with him. What greater hope could you have? What greater hope could you have? But it has to do with repentance. It has to do that you and I, because of the words of God and those things that was taught by our Savior, that we recognize that our life might not be just exactly the standard that he wants, and that we begin to change our standard to his. That we begin to take up the teachings of our Lord and apply them to our life, and that we repent of those things that we find where we're out of order. Instead of saying, well, you know, it's just a little thing, like the Book of Mormon says, you know, they just whip us a little bit, everything. He tells you the answer to that. That he expects us to endeavor to live the life that his Son has taught us and to follow after those things that are so essential to our soul's welfare. And so it's important that we realize that we have before us the Holy Scriptures that he tells us is going to judge us. He says these Scriptures, the books are going to be open, and he says we're going to be judged out of these books according to what we do, according to our works. That's what he tells us. And so, you know, maybe we should just go ahead and come and decide that maybe we had better know what's in those books. Maybe we ought to find out what we're going to be judged by. Maybe we ought to find out what he says are do's and don'ts. Maybe we ought to find out how we can approach the Lord and to repent and to be remorseful of the things that we do that would violate his holy law. And you know, he tells us that much as he has a desire to save us, as much as he has a desire to do those things, he also tells us, you know, that mercy will not override justice. What's that mean? That means that he has given us a law and a standard that we are to live by. And if we don't live by it, he's not going to say, well, I know you didn't live by it, you didn't obey, you didn't this and everything, so you just come ahead and enter on in. No, it'll be all right. No, he's not going to, because he says that his words will not come back unto him void, and he has told us what's going to happen to the people that live ungodly lives. And those people that live ungodly lives don't go live with him. He tells us no unclean thing shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does that sound like maybe we should repent and get our life in order? Does it sound like that we should watch very carefully to what we say and what we do because it might affect another? That's just like young people or old people or everything come along and say, oh, you know, come on here, let's have a cigarette with me, or let's light up a cigar, or let's this, or let's that, you know, and you have a right to say no. But you know, he says, you and I better watch out what we do, because we don't want to put a stumbling block before a brother or a sister. That means that we got a life to live for our brothers and sisters as well, for ourselves. That we wouldn't encourage them to violate the law of God. That we wouldn't encourage them not to be obeying the law of God. Or, well, you know, we can come around later and we'll do that. And with this, you know, later on we'll get serious. And you know, I've had young people tell me, well, I'll sow my wild oats now. And then when I get older and everything, well, then I'll think about repentant and being baptized and doing different things. But you know, there's a lot of them that don't live to be old. There's not a person in this room that can tell me where you're going to be tomorrow. Not a one. But I can tell you that today, we better pick up our cross and follow the Lord. Today is our day. If we have a tomorrow, then that's our day to pick up our cross and follow after the Lord. We can't afford to procrastinate, as the scriptures say. Because while you're procrastinating, the first thing you know, you're gone. And then you come back and stand before the Lord in the same spirit that you went out in. If you go out as rebellious, if you go out as doing your own thing, if you go out like the Book of Mormon says, that you're a natural individual and you're going to be an enemy to God, if that's the way you go out, that's the way you stand before the Lord at the judgment day. So there is a requirement. There is a requirement. That's why we come to hear those requirements. That's why we come to hear express those things that's essential for our soul's welfare. That's what we're doing here. To be encouraged by other brothers and sisters. To hear the testimonies of others. To hear the prayers of others. To hear the desires of others to walk justly or to get something out of their life, where they can walk closer to the Lord. That's what it's about. That's what this is about. And so it's important. I'm going to read a scripture in the 24th chapter of Luke. And in the 24th chapter of Luke, I want to read the 47th verse. And that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That repentance was to be preached. Is there anybody here that can say that, you know, as we read in the Book of Mormon this morning, we read where Christ was baptized and he really didn't need it. He was righteous. Baptism is for the remission of sin. You know, we ought to think about that. We ought to think about that. And we know that the scriptures tell us there's only one baptism. Joe, there's only one. The scriptures tells us that from that time on, every time you find out that you're sin and you don't go get baptized, but you repent. You recognize where you've violated the law of God and you repent of those things and change and alter your life to the standard that Christ has given us that we might come and live with Him and His Father. That's what it amounts to. That's what it amounts to. That we realize that He's given us that standard. That He has given us those things. I want to go over to Acts. In the 26th chapter of Acts, and there in the 26th chapter of Acts, I want to read the 20th verse. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And to the Gentiles. You heard what our brother said today when he was teaching a class, you know, that it verifies the fact that he's not a respecter of person. It's not just for the Jews, or it's not just for somebody like that, or for just of the house of Israel. The gospel of Christ is for all mankind. There's nobody left out. Each one of them is the creation of our Lord. And each one of their souls is precious unto Him. That's why they're in different nations. That's why we're in different nations today. That's why we got brothers in Africa. That's why we go to India. That's why we're in the Philippines. That's why we're in Honduras. That's why we're in Canada. That's why we're in the United States. That's why we're in different nations right now, because the Lord is opening up the work that the souls of the children of men might hear the teaching of His Son, even Jesus Christ, and apply it to their life, that they might be saved. He come to save, not destroy. He come to save us. He come to teach us of the way to eternal life. He's come to do that. That's what He came for. So that you and I would know. So you wouldn't have to guess. Somebody say, well, are you supposed to be baptized? You know, I don't know. I never heard anything about that. You know, it's all right, though, if I beat up on somebody and steal their bicycle. No, if you want something all right, then you best look to the Holy Scripture, because He sets out the trail. He blazes the trail of eternal life. And He does it in such an example that if you really want to know, you recognize the trail, because it's narrow, but it's straight. And you can walk it. And that old word of God that comes out, that rod of iron that you can hold on to go through the pitfalls and the things of the world that brings to you, that you can come to the tree of life and partake of that fruit of the love of God. He has provided that. Do you know that He has perfected these things and He has caused them to be written and preserved for you and I? And for the generations after us, He has preserved these things so that you and I could know Him and know the Father and know His Son and know what's required of us and recognize the path that He trod, that we don't follow a path of another, that we don't drift away and go somewhere else. He has done that. And you know, He has in His love, He has done different things. He has caused us to have spiritual experiences that makes us know that He is. That makes us know that He is. Things that you witness and you experience that you know is done by Christ and by the power of God and by the direction of His Holy Spirit. So that we would know that He is. And that He is very much alive today. We just heard that in the testimony. And so it's important that we realize that indeed, you know, that repentance, He says, is to be preached unto all nations. That covers us here this morning as well. We're part of all those nations. It's important that we realize and value the power and the things that are necessary to be brought to repentance. I'd like to go over into Helaman in the Book of Mormon. And I want to go to the 4th chapter of Helaman. And there I want to read the 70th and the 71st verses. That's on page 586. He says, "Therefore, blessed are they who will repent and hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God, for these are they that shall be saved. And may God grant in His great fullness, that men might be brought unto repentance and good works, that they might be restored unto grace, for grace according to their works." You know, the Bible tells us the same thing. The Bible tells us grace according to your righteousness. That's what He tells you in Romans. Grace according to your righteousness. That there's a requirement of us, brothers and sisters. It's not just to coast along and not do anything and think that we've run the race. That's like standing at the starting block and having to shoot the gun and everybody start running to get over there to break the band, and you just stand there on the starting block and watch them go, and then get mad because they didn't give you the trophy. We've already left the starting block. Those of us that have been baptized and come in, we're already at the position where He tells us that the parents in them should teach up their children the way they should go. Yes, we're already at those things. And so it's important that we realize that we must obey and follow after those things and be obedient. And that if we want to be under His grace, then we have to live for it. We have to live for it. You know, the Bible tells us that there were those who had fallen from grace. So did the Book of Mormon. That the grace was gone because they were violating the law so viciously. And so it's important that we realize that He has laws and He has things there to save us. And He has laws that tells us, look out here now. You're treading on thin ice. You're in a position where you just might fall through. And so you need to look, you need to look, you need to go to the Scriptures, you need to look and see what's required of you and what He says that you're to do, what that Spirit inside of your house is to direct you to do, that you might live that life, that you might walk justly before the Lord, that you might get off the thin ice, that you know, and to be following. That's what He's caused those Scriptures to be written for. So you and I would know. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's why it's so important for us to read those things and to go to it. I'd like to go to the second book of Corinthians. And there in the second Corinthians, I want to go to the seventh chapter. And here he talks about godly sorrows. And I'm going to start there in the ninth. I'm going to read the ninth and the tenth verse. He says, "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." That you realize that you were doing things wrong and you sorrowed to repentance. You were sorry that you violated the law of God. And you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. That sorrow was for the godly sorrow that would set us so we'd know what we're to do. And that's what the scriptures tells us completely from the beginning, what we're to do and what we're not to do. That's what he tells us, the do's and don'ts. Only thing is that he says you have your own free agency, so you don't have to obey them. No. But you have to receive the words of your Savior when you stand before him, when he says that if you don't, that you're going down with Satan and be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's a horse of a different color. That's something entirely different. You see? And so we have a choice. We have a choice each day. We have a choice. And so it's important that we realize that those choices are there to be ready for us. Let's go to 1 Nephi, the third chapter. That's on page 26. And there in first chapter, I'm going to read the 26th through the 35. It says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of the things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in the time, and also manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him." That it's essential that they repent and come unto him. That's when you look and you see the things that you're doing. And you love the Lord enough and yourself to change them. Because, you know, it's important that you realize that if you love the Lord enough to know that you want to follow after him, then you want to love the Lord enough to save your soul and change and alter your life to the standard that Christ has brought to us and has taught us. That's really important. That's really important. I want to go to 2 Peter. There in 2 Peter, I want to read a couple verses. Third chapter. There in the third chapter, I want to read, I'll read the ninth verse for now. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. What? No, I'm in 1 Peter. Thank you. That helps. I was beginning to wonder where I was at myself. The ninth verse. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that we would come to repentance, that we would repent of our sins, that we would get our sins in order, that we would take them out of our life, that we would walk closer to God. When we do that, we're more blessed. When we're walking according to God, we're more blessed. We're blessed of His Spirit. It didn't say you wasn't having problems. But you have a peace. And you know that you can overcome those problems in the Lord. You know where to go. You know who to ask. You know who to visit with. And you know who has that strength. It's important that we realize that He's there. I want to go to the 11th chapter of Acts. I'll see if I can find it this time. And there in the 11th chapter of Acts, I want to read the 18th verse. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Yes, He did. And not only to the Gentiles, to the Negroes, to the Indians, to the Spanish. Yeah. To the Philippines, to the Chinese. To all of them, they're His children. And He has a desire to save their soul. That's what He came for. That's what He suffered on the cross for, is to save them. To save them from being tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what He came for. That was the purpose of it. That He come and He caused these things to be written so that you and I would know why He came. And know, He said, these things I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me. And know, He says, this is the way to walk. This is the rod of iron. Get a hold of it. And it'll take you to the tree of life. It'll take you to that tree of life. If you hold on to that rod of iron. But there's a requirement. We have to develop our spiritual grip. To hold on to that rod of iron, that word of God. That we don't have people tell us something else and begin to follow the wrong way and go into one thing and another. We have to develop our spiritual grip to hold on to that rod of iron. That we remain true. And like we say, to endure to the end, how important it is. That's what is required of us. Those are those things that are required. You know, there's so many scriptures in the Bible and the Book of Mormon concerning repentance that it's impossible for me to begin to try to cover them all today. But now I want to read a little bit about some virtues. I want to go over in Galatians. And there in Galatians, I want to go to the fifth chapter of Galatians. And I'm going to read the 22nd through the 25th verses. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. Let us also walk in the Spirit. That you know those things about, that we read here, long suffering. You have a temper? If you got a temper, watch that. You can be long suffering. You're supposed to be kind. You're supposed to have peace. You're supposed to have love and joy and gentleness. If your temper flares up, are you gentle? Or are you hard to talk to? Are you everything else other than what you're supposed to be? These things are the virtues of Christ. These are the things that He tells us to walk for and to do those things. I want to go to the 12th chapter of Romans. There in the 12th chapter of Romans, I want to read 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. What's it mean to abhor that which is evil? Yeah. Yeah, you hate it. You hate that which is going to take you away from that rod of iron. You hate that which is going to not let you go live with God the Father and Jesus Christ. You hate that Satan has done those things to destroy the souls of the children of men. That's what that means. That means that you have an enemy to your soul, and we call him the devil. He's called the father of lies. He's called a lot of things in the Scriptures. That's what he's called. Be kindly affectionate one with another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. That we're to be kind. You know, that might sound funny to you, but you know, if somebody's got something of yours and you want it, you don't go to them and say, I want that back. Well, that woke you up. That wakes them up too. That immediately puts them on a defense. That's why you ask them, did you get that? Can I have it back? I want to play with it, or I want to do this, or you want to do that. You don't let your temper go, because when you let your temper go, whoever you're talking to, they just shut you down. They shut you out. They close the window. You don't get any air. They just shut it down. And so you go and you go with people and you go there with a gentleness and you go there with a brotherly love. You go there abhorring those things that are evil. And evil is when you talk roughly and you're yelling and you're hollering or using profanity and these things. He says, if you got something you need to say, say yay, yay or nay, nay. That don't hardly sound like some of the things you hear all the time, does it? No. I want to go over to 2 Peter again, first chapter. I'll get out of 1 Peter this time. 2 Peter, first chapter, and I'm going to read the 5th through the 10th. Verses. And besides this, giving all diligence, added to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, Wow, boy, that sort of steps on some of us, huh? That brotherly kindness. That's when we're not yelling and hollering at somebody or something. Okay. To brotherly kindness, charity. Whoa, that's love, isn't it? Yeah, my goodness. He says, for if these things be in you and around, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. That these things let you know that the things you're to do and the things that you're not to do. You know, it's important that we realize that. It's important that he has went through and he knows the things that come against us because he walked in the flesh. He knows your temptation. Satan stood before him and tempted him, say, you've been fasting. We know you're hungry. Well, you're the Son of God. You just turn those old rocks right there. You just turn them into bread and eat them. You're hungry. The Lord told him, you know, he says, you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's our food. It's the spiritual food that sustains the spirit. Is the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. They're the ones that strengthen the spirit. The absence of it makes you weak. They're the ones that strengthens the spirit is the words of God. And that's how important it is. I want to go over to Colossians. And there I want to go to the third chapter of Colossians. And I want to read the 12th through the 17th verses. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know how important that is. That if we want Christ to forgive us when we go and we repent, he says you and I are supposed to forgive. We're supposed to forgive our brothers and sisters. Wow. Is that hard for some of us? Or do we say, I forgive, but I remember. I this, I that. That there's a forgiveness that needs to be. And we need to forgive. Let's go a little further here. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and ye be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. That gives you a lot to know right there, the virtues of Christ, of the forgiveness, of that you love those individuals. Oh, he told us before, you know, you're supposed to love your enemies. You might not love what they do, but you have a desire that their soul should be saved, that you love them, that they don't lose their soul. I'm going to read one more scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew's 3rd chapter. And I want to read the 8th verse. It says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." It's important for us to be able to thank God for the repentance, to thank God for the opportunity to repent. You know, we'd be in really hard to put if after we were washed clean of baptism, then there was no repentance. And from that time on, everything that we violated the law of God, we didn't have a right to go to Him and say, "Lord, I made a mistake here. And I can see I've come out of order. And please forgive me." He has given us that opportunity, so He might save us to live with Him in His kingdom. Thank you.